Well, I'm going to be treated very unfairly during the debate.
Oh, okay. So it's already unfair. Got it.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me. Jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Yep.
Yes, I'm stuck in the middle.
From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is the Bradcast as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM, People Powered Radio in LA, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, 93.7 FM in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake. Up in Oregon on 91.7 FM KYAQ on the Central Coast and 106.7 FM Queso in Cottage Grove. In Lancaster, Pennsylvania on 93 FM WLRI. In beautiful Maui on 88.5 FM KAKU. In Columbus, Ohio on WGRN 94.1 FM. In Palinville, New York on 102.9 FM WLPP. And in Minneapolis, St. Paul on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Just a few of the many terrestrial stations carrying the Bradcast, along with those on the intertubes on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Indie Media Weekly, FYI Nation, FYI Nation, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, GDPR, Revolution 99, Detour Talk, Radio Monterey, and Radio Sputnik, blanketing planet Earth 5 days a week. You have found the Bradcast. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, all-around swell fellow, says me, and by the way, many other people. I've heard it from many people how swell I am.
All the best people.
All the best people.
Say the nicest things.
They do. They do. And I can't tell you who they are, but trust me. Believe me. Believe me. Many, many people. Blogger from bradblog.com. Thank you for joining us today. That, of course, was the lovely Desi Doyen. We will get to her in a moment. And we will get to your calls in a little bit concerning the debate coming up next Monday. Yes, the first presidential debate. 818-985-5735 will be our phone number if you want to get through to us. I'll get more specific in a second. You can also tweet me at the Brad Blog. Overnight, once again, here we go again, about 16 police officers in Charlotte, North Carolina were reportedly injured last night when a standoff between law enforcement and demonstrators turned ugly overnight following an officer who fatally shot a black man on Tuesday afternoon in Charlotte. Protesters clashed with police officers in riot gear and blocked a stretch of Interstate 85, according to the New York Times. Police Chief Kerr Putney said during a news conference on Wednesday that the officers had sustained minor injuries and that just one person had been arrested during the protests. They began in the University City neighborhood in Northeast Charlotte, near the campus of the University of North Carolina at Charlotte. Mayor Jennifer Roberts urged calm in a series of Twitter messages and promised a thorough investigation into the shooting death of Keith L. Scott, a 43-year-old African-American man. The community deserves answers and a full investigation will ensue, Mayor Roberts promised. The shooting occurred just before 4 p.m. on Tuesday as officers were trying to serve an arrest warrant for a different person in this apartment complex. Police officials said that the officer opened fire because Mr. Scott, who they said was armed with a gun, quote, posed an imminent deadly threat. Scott's family told local news outlet that he had not had a weapon. Instead, they said he had been clutching a book while waiting to pick up a child after school. The shooting revived scrutiny of a police department that drew national attention about 3 years ago when a white officer was quickly charged with voluntary manslaughter after he killed Jonathan Farrell, an unarmed black man. The shooting in Charlotte this week is the latest in a long string now of deaths of black people at the hands of the police. that have stoked outrage around the country, says The Times. It comes just a few days after a white police officer in Tulsa, Oklahoma, fatally shot Terrence Crutcher, an unarmed black man who could be seen on video raising his hands above his head. And boy, I don't know, about 10 or 15 feet at best from police when he was gunned down by those by the police, according to the video there. A police spokesman did not respond to inquiries about whether a dashboard or body camera had recorded the shooting in Charlotte. Chief Putney had acknowledged that Mr. Scott had not been the subject of the outstanding warrant that had brought the police there in the first place. On Facebook, Scott's daughter said the police fired without provocation. Quote, the police just shot my daddy four times for being black. We will keep our eyes on that story as it develops. Okay, coming up in a little bit, Desi Doyen will join us for the latest Green News Report. How are you, Desi Doyen?
I'm all right.
It's getting warm in this town, by the way. Have you noticed
yes,
that?
It
Late
is.
September, getting kind of warm. So we've got a number of things to cover, including that massive gasoline pipeline spill in Alabama on the Green News Report a little bit later. Some more news on the Dakota Access Pipeline and this amazing situation where the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon is now attempting to Trump-proof the Paris Climate Agreement.
Yes, it's remarkable. And we will have an update on that later.
And we have an update as well as the UN is now meeting in New York and as Ban Ki-moon is desperately trying to bring on board for final ratification enough countries to essentially, yes, Trump-proof this Paris Agreement in the event that Donald Trump wins the election on November 8th. We'll talk about that in our Green News Report coming up. In the meantime, speaking of getting hot, another month, another global heat record has been smashed. According to AP, we covered this a week or two ago, I think it was, Desi Doyen, on the Green News Report with NASA coming out with these numbers.
That's right. NASA and NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, they use two different sets that have different components to it, and also they calculate it slightly differently, so they often do come up with slightly different conclusions, but they both said that August 2016 was the hottest August ever recorded.
Warmer than the old August record that was set last year. Just last year, this was the 16th consecutive month of record-breaking heat, said NOAA, the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration. NOAA Monitoring Chief Deke Arndt said it was also the hottest summer, with 2016 on pace to smash last year's record for the hottest year. This is the fifth hottest month of any kind ever recorded, going back to 1880, says NOAA. The June through August summer beat the old summer heat record, which was set last year. According to NOAA, the needle has been shoved all the way over into the red by greenhouse gases, according to Arndt.
And the jump in the temperature from last August to this August was almost 1 degree, and that's a pretty big jump. That's shockingly so. And it's also very disturbing, most meteorologists were saying, because there's no longer an El Nino that's goosing global temperatures. Mm-hmm. So this kind of happened all on its own.
All on its own. And by the way, when you say 1 degree, that's almost 1 degree Celsius. In fact, this year was 1.66 degrees Fahrenheit warmer than the 20th century average for August. So organizer and MIT climate scientist Kerry Emanuel said the scientists wrote, a bunch of scientists, 375 members of the National Academy of Sciences, including Stephen Hawking and 30 Nobel laureates. They released a letter urging American leaders to not pull out of an international agreement to curb global warming. The letter said that presidential nominee Donald Trump's advocacy of withdrawing from that agreement would, quote, send a clear signal to the rest of the world that the United States does not care about the global problem of human-caused climate change. Emanuel said, we're getting wake-up calls more frequently, and we really have to do something about this. Oh, you think? Well, Desi Doyen has been doing something about this now for many years on our Green News Report. So thank you for that, Desi Doyen. And speaking of things that we have been trying to warn you about for a very long time, I was speaking to a radio producer yesterday for a show that I'm going to be a guest on tomorrow, I think, up in the Bay Area. And she asked me if I thought that Trump was going to win. And I said, well, I don't do predictions, I told her. But if the question is, can Donald Trump win? The answer is he absolutely can win. And those chances of him winning are getting better by the day for a whole bunch of reasons. But let me focus right now on the latest polls right now. Ipsos Reuters now finds that Donald Trump has taken the lead nationally among likely voters. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are now tied at 39% among likely voters in the latest release of the Ipsos Reuters tracking poll. That's in a head-to-head match. They are tied at 39% apiece. But with third-party candidates included, Donald Trump now leads this poll by 2 points, 39-37, with Libertarian Gary Johnson at 7% and Green Party candidate Jill Stein at 2%. Nationally, Clinton had a slight advantage in the head-to-head race in last week's Ipsos Reuters poll. She was leading just by 1 point, 40-39%. The candidates were tied at 39% in the four-way race last week that Donald Trump now leads by 2 points. This marks the first time Donald Trump has come out ahead in either the head-to-head or the four-way race in the Ipsos Reuters tracking poll. TPM's poll tracker average for the general election now shows Clinton still leading Trump, but by just barely more than 2 points nationally as an average across the country. That small gap has been closing very quickly over the past several weeks. And in any event, either way, those are national numbers. It's the state-by-state results that actually matter here. And as we noted yesterday on the broadcast, new polling from the CBS Battleground Survey finds that the candidates are now tied among likely voters across 13 battleground states, with Trump now leading in the poll averages in key states like Florida and Ohio. So a Trump presidency, for many of you who may have been in denial for many, many months, is no longer just a theoretical concern. As I see it, I believe that it is very real. And as I've been trying to warn pretty much from the day one, the day that he got into this race on June 16, 2015, while most everyone else felt the possibility was ridiculous and unthinkable, I have been trying to explain to people on this program that it is not ridiculous or unthinkable in the least. By the way, even in so-called safe states like here in blue California, Clinton's lead has been shrinking very quickly. And I don't know, to be frank, that there are any more safe states. I just don't know. I believe Donald Trump is a dangerous enough authoritarian demagogue that I'm not sure it's safe anymore to say, well, I'm in a safe state. I'm going to vote for third party or whatever. I don't know that there are any safe states. I really don't. Or at least not states that I feel comfortable about. And not just because of the polling, but because of so much of what we report on this program, how the electoral system is being gamed. The Bradley, so-called Bradley effect, where nothing to do with me, it's not my fault, don't blame me, where people don't want to tell pollsters that they, yes, support a racist authoritarian demagogue. So I think Trump's numbers are actually much better than are currently being reflected in the polls. That's just my opinion. More on that tomorrow on tomorrow's broadcast, if the radio gods are with us. Suffice to say, with the first presidential debate now coming up this Monday, and maybe Democrats finally beginning to realize that it ain't going to be the cakewalk they thought a month or two ago. Remember when they're, Hillary Clinton, she'll destroy Donald Trump in those debates. Donald Trump, sure, he may do well against Republicans, but in a general election when he's, got Democrats to contend with, that's a whole different story. Really? You sure about that now? So they used to think, Republicans used to think that Trump was totally beatable, that he could never win the nomination. And then Democrats started thinking that. And in any event, this is getting very, very serious. As I've been warning, the polls are now pretty much a dead heat. Trump and Clinton are now pretty much tied nationally and in the so-called swing states. And there is a whole hell of a lot riding on this upcoming debate on Monday. And we will see whether it will help propel a dangerously racist, wholly incompetent, authoritarian demagogue to the White House. And by the way, those are qualities that many of his supporters are actually in favor of. That's why they're voting for Donald Trump in many cases. And now we can add to that, by the way, the Republicans, according to the New York Times today and their polling report, they now say that Republicans now have a 52% chance of winning the Senate, of holding the majority in the Senate in 2016. And Washington Post confirms that as well with their look at their polling average, finding that Republicans are now favored to hold the majority in the U.S. Senate. Which is amazing to me. If Democrats can't win in a year like this, can't frankly win the Senate and the House and the White House in a year like this, Democrats need to take a look at what the hell they're doing and how they're running for national office. That's just me. In any event, the Washington Post reports that there is a tightening in the presidential race and there are strong performances by several GOP incumbents. And that's why some of these targeted seats have now moved into safer territory for the Republicans in the Senate. According to the Fix's debut ratings of the 34 seats up this year, 24 of which Republicans are defending, right now just two GOP seats are currently leaning towards Democrats. Those are Senate seats in Illinois and Wisconsin. There are four races that are toss-ups in Indiana, Nevada, New Hampshire, and Pennsylvania. Right now, given that Republicans currently have an effective 54-46 majority in the U.S. Senate, Democrats would have to win three of those four toss-ups if Hillary Clinton wins the presidency, so that Vice President Kaine could be the tiebreaker in a 50-50 Senate. And, of course, they'll have to win all four of those toss-ups if Trump wins the presidency. So, I had considered opening up the phones today to those who would like to make an affirmative argument for Donald Trump. Why is it, and I know we have a lot of listeners here who actually support Donald Trump, why is it that you do? And not because you don't like Hillary Clinton. I wanted to find out the affirmative argument also for Hillary Clinton, from Hillary Clinton supporters. Again, not because the other candidate sucks. That doesn't count. But you know what? With the debate coming up Monday, I actually want to try and focus on that for a minute here. And with you callers, NBC's Lester Holt was going to serve as the moderator of that first presidential debate next week at Hofstra University in New York. And as we reported on the program yesterday, he has announced that the topics to be covered are, quote, America's direction, whatever that means, achieving prosperity, whatever that means, and securing America, whatever that means. According to the Commission on Presidential Debates, those will be the topics. They all seem very general. They sound a bit Republican-y to my ears. But in any event, you can download yesterday's broadcast for a few thoughts that I had on how I feel both Lester Holt and Hillary Clinton are likely to do in the debate. For her part, Hillary Clinton expects to spend much of the presidential debate correcting Donald Trump, according to her campaign manager on Wednesday. Robbie Mook said, I think what's concerning about Donald Trump is that, first of all, he doesn't often tell the truth. So she's going to have to spend some time probably correcting the record, and you think, and making sure voters understand the facts. She wants to make sure that when she gets to the debate that she will clearly lay out the plans that she has developed to make a difference in people's lives. As of right now, we haven't seen real specifics concerning Trump's plans. We haven't seen serious plans at all, says Mook to CNN. And for his part, for Donald Trump's part, speaking on Fox News, naturally, on Monday, he's already laying the ground for things to work out his way, no matter how things actually go at the first debate at Hofstra University on Monday.
Well, I'm going to be treated very unfairly during the debate because there's such pressure. You know, Matt Lauer was very fair, and he did a very good job, and everybody said I won that debate, if you call it a debate, the one on NBC last week, the town hall. They said that that was the forum.
Yep.
They said that that was an event that I won, and Matt Lauer was badly criticized.
He sure was.
And I think, you know, I mean, I'll be honest, I think that system is
Are you thinking this moderator, who's going to be?
On Monday?
Yeah.
Hofstra?
It's going to be Lester Holt.
Are you worried that Lester Holt is going to be unfair to you now?
Well, I have a set of things that I'll be doing, if that's the case.
Sure.
I've always found him to be fair, but you know, the system, as I said, it's a very, very dirty system, and it's a very unfair system, so we'll see what happens.
It's a very unfair system in that journalists ask questions, and he will have to answer them. I guess that's the unfair part. Other than that, it's both unfair and fair, according to Donald Trump. He's found Lester Holt to be fair before, but he sure is going to be unfair this time. So we're now just days from the presidential debate. Starring Hillary Clinton and good Lord Donald Trump. So what would you like to see Lester Holt? I want to focus on this if we can. A lot of people are calling in right now. Our numbers are 818-985-5735. What do you want to see asked of either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton by moderator Lester Holt? What kind of question? Never mind whether he will or not. What question do you want to hear the moderator ask of either candidate or both candidates? Up to you. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. You can also tweet me. I am the Brad Blog if you prefer to reach me that way. Try to get to some of your tweets as well. On yesterday's program, for example, we covered new information showing that Donald Trump unlawfully used $250,000 of other people's money from his so-called charity foundation as a slush fund to pay off personal and business legal obligations. Completely illegal. Will he? Should he be asked about that? If so, what should the question be? From moderator Lester Holt. On Monday's program this week, the broadcast covered the new pipeline rupture up in Alabama, which went unnoticed for days, spewing hundreds of thousands of gallons of gasoline into the environment down in rural Shelby County, Alabama, threatening endangered species found nowhere else in the world. That, even as the Obama administration finally took a month, but they finally placed a temporary halt on the construction of the much larger Dakota Access Pipeline up near Sacred Sioux tribal lands in South Dakota. Has Hillary Clinton and the Obama administration done enough on that front? And does Donald Trump really think getting rid of all EPA regulations entirely and the environmental protection laws meant to help prevent such contamination of our environment and of our climate? Will he really do that upon taking office, as he has claimed? What would you ask either of the candidates on Monday if you were the moderator of the first presidential debate? What do you want to hear them get grilled on? 818-985-5735 is our phone number. I'd love to hear from you, and we will do that right after this break. I'm Brad Friedman. Don't touch that dial.
Trust that day.
Monday, coming up, the first presidential debate. Wondering what you think Lester Holt should ask of either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. You're listening to the Bradcast. I'm Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Let me go to Jason in Marina Del Rey. Hey, Jason, welcome to the Bradcast.
Hello, Brad. How are you today?
I'm okay. How are you?
I am excellent. Thanks for asking. Yeah, Brad, I would love for somebody, or I would love for the moderator to ask him what he thinks of climate change, because he's denied that there is any climate change. He just says he doesn't see it. You know, it's just weather, and it's weather changes. But, you know, we just had the hottest month ever on record in August, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
NOAA. Just say NOAA.
Last
yeah.
month. And we're about to beat last year's record. So, I mean, like, I just feel personally that if you can't even agree that there is climate change, you're just too stupid to be president, you know?
Okay, I hear you. So ask him. So basically ask Donald Trump, does he still believe that climate change is a hoax created by the Chinese, as he has asserted? Would that be a good way to put it, Jason?
Correct. That, and I'd also love to see what he would say about, you know, the Israeli occupation of Palestine, as well as what he would do with Syria. You know, that those are some pretty big issues right now. So,
yep, very good.
I'm sure he'd just take the gung-ho, you know, we'll just bomb the heck out of him, you know, side on that. But I mean, climate change, which is crazy to me is that, you know, most Republicans are climate change deniers, like 85% of the people in the Republican Party just don't believe in climate change. It's not a belief system. It's a fact versus fiction. And these guys just want to create their own facts, and, you know, they just want to ignore facts and they want to create their own. But you're entitled to your opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts.
Thanks.
So, you know, that's my two cents.
Well said and well spent, those 2 cents. Thank you, Jason. I would add that the 85%, by the way, that's of elected Republican officials, or maybe even higher. I'm not sure. You know, I think that and Desi's wrestling some calls to the ground, so I can't ask her. But I think that a majority now of Republicans, at least Republican voters, actually understand that climate change is very real. Their elected officials, however, they're another matter. 818-985-5735. The first presidential debate is coming up on Monday, Hofstra University in New York. And what would you like to hear Lester Holt, NBC News, the moderator of that debate, ask of Donald Trump and or Hillary Clinton? Because, you know, we'll see if he bothers to even ask anything about climate change. For years, we have been complaining on this program and on the Green News Report how in presidential debates, climate change doesn't even exist. Who was it? Candy Crowley back in 2012. I think she referred to people complaining about the fact that she hadn't asked any climate change questions. She referred to them as "you climate change people." Okay, let's go to, let's see, where am I here? John in Koreatown out here in Los Angeles. Hey, John, welcome to the Bradcast. What would you like asked on the presidential debate?
I would like him to ask some of the issues that Sassange has brought up from her emails. For example, the emails claim that...
That who has brought up, John? Who?
Julian Assange.
Oh, Assange. Gotcha.
The releases of her emails. Well, some of them claim that, or basically say that she armed ISIS. Why did she do it? I want to know.
You believe that Hillary Clinton armed ISIS.
That's what the emails say, and no one's denying that those emails are hers. Nobody's denying those emails are hers. You go look what Assange is saying. You go look what Putin is saying.
Okay.
You go look what people are in the region are saying.
Okay.
Yes, that's what they're saying. The emails say it. That's from her horse's mouth.
Okay. I have not seen an email. I will, John. I have not seen an email from Hillary Clinton saying that she was arming ISIS, but I'll certainly be happy to look. And, of course, I agree with you. If she did, I would love to see Lester Holt ask her why she is arming ISIS. But consider me dubious. I appreciate that, though, John. Thank you very much. Let me go to Stan in Anaheim. Hey, Stan, welcome to the Bradcast. What would you like to see the presidential candidates grilled on Monday?
I'd like both of them to be asked.
Other than on a grill, an actual grill. But anyway, go ahead, Stan. Yes.
I'd like to know, both of them to be asked, what three Supreme Court decisions do they find most important in American history, and why?
And do you think that Hillary Clinton would be able to answer that question?
Better than, she would be more, okay, better, yes, only because she knows more about the history of the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
I mean, she's smart.
Yeah. And so do you think that Donald Trump would be able to answer those questions?
I don't think he would be able to answer. If she were to be asked first, of course, he would support Plessy versus Ferguson and things like that. But I don't think he'd be able to answer it. And that's what I think is important.
Do you think he even knows what Plessy versus Ferguson is, Stan? No, I'm serious.
No, of course not. Neither do most of my neighbors or people that my colleagues.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think what he would say is, well, you know, that recent decision by the Supreme Court to make sure people could keep their guns in Washington, D.C., I think that's the best decision they ever made. And that's why we need someone like Antonin Scalia. And then he would go off into a different area and it would be all over. But so I don't think he'd be able to answer that question at all. And it's kind of troubling, by the way. You know, Chris Wallace of Fox News is going to be one of the moderators, not on Monday, but on one of the later presidential debates. And he's already said, it's not my job to be a fact checker. So, you know, and we certainly saw that from Matt Lauer a couple of weeks ago in that Commander-in-Chief forum who let Trump get away with all manner of lies. Not his job to be a fact checker either, I guess. Anyway, Stan, good question. And I would like to see him answer those questions because day one, when I, you know, hear a lot of people talking about the presidential election and they say, well, you know what, worst thing that happens is we have to suffer through 4 years of Donald Trump and then we can elect someone else. Well, it is not just 4 years of Donald Trump. There is already a Supreme Court vacancy. From day one, he will decide, whoever the president is elected president will decide the majority of the Supreme Court, whether it will lean to the left or lean to the right. And that decision will affect this nation for a generation at least. So congratulations if you can survive 4 years of Donald Trump, if you've got the resources to enjoy that and to survive that. But it's not just 4 years. It is a generation. We're still paying the price, as you may have noticed, for George W. Bush and his presidency all of these years later. All right, let's get to some more calls. 818-985-5735. Mark in Thousand Oaks. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Hi, Brad. Well, first time I'm calling not about Bernie or bust, talking about the Supreme Court, because you just told that perfectly. But to answer your question, I would love if Lester Holt is going to ask to grill him, is how does Donald Trump, a grown man, get away with a second-grade tactic regarding how he's going to defeat ISIS by saying it's a secret? I mean, everybody knows that's what a kid does when he doesn't do his homework or whatever. I'm not going to tell you. How does, in the modern era, someone get away with something so large as defeating ISIS, get away as an adult saying, I'm not going to tell you. It's a secret.
It's a secret plan, and I'm not going to reveal this secret plan until I'm elected because I don't want to give it away to the bad guys. That's what he'll say, and that'll be the end of it, Mark. I mean, you can say, why do you have a secret plan or what, you know, and he'll say, you know, so I don't let the enemy know. What is the secret plan? I'm not going to say. I'm not going to let the enemy know. And that's it. He just gets away with it, Mark. Yep.
Grill him, so to speak, on that tactic, saying that's not going to fly. That's just a childish response.
Well, is that the role of a moderator in a debate? Is that the role of Lester Holt to say your response is childish?
Well, I think it's his role to hold his feet to the fire and to somewhat, he can put it in a way to say that that's not an acceptable answer. I think most people would understand that. It would be up to him to phrase it in such a way that, I mean, do you not believe that that's a childish response?
Oh, of course I do. It's ridiculous. It's a lie is what it is. He's got nothing. He's got no plan. He's got nothing.
Yeah, so
but I don't know how you get that out of him in a debate.
Well, that's that's my point. I'll leave it at that. But I think that's Lester Holt's job to bring that out.
I hear you. And I don't know how. And that's why I'm looking for questions. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate that call very much. 818-985-5735. 818-985-KPFK. We are here live in Pacifica Radio's KPFK studios in Los Angeles. Let me get to... Who do we go here? Let me go to David in Moreno Valley. Hey, David, welcome to the broadcast. What do you want to see asked about in next week's presidential debate?
I would like to know, what is he going to do about the killing of the black people in the United States here?
Mm.
That's the question I would like to know from either candidate. What are they going to do about the senseless killing of black people and people getting off about it? And not just blacks, but all races of people. What are they going to do about that? Just stop this.
And good question. Very quickly, what do you think? What would you like to hear them answer in that case?
I would like police to get more training so they get a better understanding of the citizens that they're dealing with, instead of just coming up and shooting right off the top of the without an explanation.
Yep.
And then when they do that, I want a full investigation and I want the truth to come out. And that way, if they did do it wrongly, then they can get. There can be a justification for that.
Yep.
Have them arrested, whatever it's got to be. We're human beings. We're not animals out here.
Yes, sir.
And it's just out of line. Out of line.
Agree. Thank you, David. I appreciate that call very much. 818-985-5735 is our number. Let's go to Sheila in Monterey Park. Hey, Sheila, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi there.
I'd
like to know if any of Mrs. Clinton's Democratic Party stalwarts have suggested that she drop out and let Uncle Bernie run.
Well, yeah. Is that a question you would ask to Hillary Clinton at the debate, Sheila?
That's a question I would ask, yes.
Okay. And when she says, no, nobody has suggested that. And by the way, I don't even know if they can do that legally.
She can get sick. She's done that before.
Yes, she can get sick, but that's not replacing her on the ballot with a different candidate who lost the primary contest.
Well, they keep suggesting that that the Green Party and the other guy drop out so that she can win. Why not she drop out so Bernie can win?
Okay.
I think he has a better chance of doing it than she has.
Okay. I hear you, Sheila. And, of course, that's a case we made during the primaries, but we are now past the primaries, unfortunately. Thanks, Sheila. I appreciate that call very much. 818-985-5735. Let's go to Angela in Sacramento. Hey, Angela, welcome to the broadcast.
Oh, hi.
Oh, my.
Okay,
hi.
So my question is for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And I understand, and he has stated that he wanted to run for president because he can make all of this change. And
oh, no.
Why did he not run for governor? Or because you have to understand how government works in order to be president. It is not a job that you can just learn on the fly. So why did he decide to run for president instead of a lower office?
That's an excellent question, Angela. Thank you very much for that. And that's actually very, very thoughtful. And I don't know what kind of BS and nonsense he'd answer it with.
Neither do I, but it would be very interesting.
Yeah,
to
I agree.
Yep.
Thanks, Angela.
All right.
I appreciate
You're
it.
Welcome.
Let's hope they ask that question. Lester is listening to the show right now. Let's go to Jim in Cerritos. Hey, Jim, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
The question I've asked for both candidates and hopefully the American people is, the war on terror is 15 years old. It's probably cost about $5 trillion that they'd admit to. It's probably more than that. It's cost a minimum of 1 million lives. It's probably a lot more than that. It's displaced easily 5 million people. It's been running so long, both parties have been telling us more and more perpetuating lies to justify it.
Mm-hmm.
And they've expanded it to other countries. And they've justified not only saying we're fighting bad people over there, they end up arming the bad people over there, where the CIA is funding one guy and the Defense Department's funding the others. It's a complete fiasco. It's built on lies. It's a total fraud. Which one of these candidates are brave enough to step up and say, we are ending the charade, the money goes back to the American people, and we will stop lying and justifying these lies to perpetuate wars, to feed the military-industrial complex and all the sheep and sycophants that suck off that tit?
So Jim, what you're saying is, so the question would be what?
The question would be,
do you have the courage to admit the war on terror has been a lie, and do you have a courage to stand up and say, I'm ending this charade once and for all?
Okay. Thank you. Thanks. Appreciate that, Jim. 818-985-5735. We can get to, we got time for a few more calls. Give us a call. 818-985-KPFK. You can also tweet me at the Brad Blog. Looking for questions that you'd like to see asked of the two candidates who are going to appear in the debate on Monday night. The first presidential debate on Monday night in New York. A question for Donald Trump, a question for Hillary, or a question for both of them. Let's see. Who do we got? We got a lot of folks holding here. Let me go to who should I hit here? Barbara. Yes, Barbara in Gardena. Hey, Barbara, welcome to the broadcast. What is the question that you would like to see asked of the candidates on Monday?
All right, the question is to Hillary Clinton,
mm-hmm.
and I'd like to know her view on children soldiers. Since during her tenure, they canceled the sanctions that were put in the Bush area on countries using children soldiers. And the other thing I'd like to ask Hillary Clinton.
Which countries, by the way, Barbara?
Which countries use children soldiers?
No, you said there was sanctions.
I said that there was a law during the Bush era that was passed levying sanctions on countries who use children soldiers.
Right. I was just curious what countries those were, and you're saying they canceled that protection against that those sanctions of countries that use child soldiers?
I won't say canceled, at least suspended. So that they could give dope, Viagra, and guns to the children of Libya and those in Syria. And I want to know what's her current view on the use of children soldiers. And the other thing I'd like to ask her is how she thinks or what effect she thinks her policies or the policies during her tenure in Syria arming Syria youth contributed to the 450,000 people who are dead now and the millions who are refugees now.
Thank you, Barbara. I appreciate that. And I'm not sure that they were giving the children the Viagra or that they are currently, in any event, supporting arming children. Oh, maybe I'm wrong. Children in Syria and Libya. But good question. 818-985-5735. Let me get to Robert in Bell Gardens, California. Hey, Robert, welcome to the broadcast. What do you want to see asked of the candidates Monday night?
Should the United States of America re-legalize marijuana? Yes.
That's easy. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Basically, what I would suggest is that it is in the best interest of the United States of America, California, the United States of America, and the world to re-legalize marijuana, the beneficial, versatile, historically legal marijuana, cannabis, hemp, plant. The specific re-legalization reasons I would state and would be prepared to discuss are freedom of thought, First Amendment, consciousness, self-determination, and individual autonomy, the pursuit of happiness. Inconsistent with America's economic system and America's political and social ethic. Privacy, justice, Eighth Amendment, Ninth Amendment, equal protection, medicine, food, fuel.
All right, all right. So I take it you're in favor of legalizing marijuana. Thanks.
Proposition 64, it's time we put the sacrament back in Sacramento.
There you go. Prop 64, is that what the number is out here in California?
To re-legalize marijuana for adults in California, yes.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Robert. And by the way, I always enjoy you on the movie phone as well. So thank you for that.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a good day. Do we got to get to a break? We got a minute. 818-985-5735. Let me go to, where are we? Chuck in Huntington Beach. Hey, Chuck, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you. Question for both of them would simply be, what's their plan for dealing with our $19 trillion public debt?
And what's your concern about our $19 trillion public debt?
How in the hell are we going to pay it?
And is this a top concern of yours, given all the actual problems we've got going on in our country and in our world right now?
Well, I think that how we deal with the domestic policies are going to either feed or diminish that public debt. And so if we continue with the extending the public debt, what are we going to do? Are they, you know?
Okay. And very quickly, essentially, there's two solutions to that. Increase revenue or cut spending. What's your favorite plan there, Chuck?
Personally, I don't have a favorite plan. Okay. Most people don't want to see either one happen.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to have to make some dramatic changes, policy-wise as well as personal, for our great-great-grandchildren.
All right.
And I haven't seen any politicians really even mention that much in this last political arena.
Okay. Yeah, well, you've got both candidates willing to spend a whole lot of government money for a whole bunch of different ideas and different programs. Donald Trump is certainly anything but a, what do they used to pretend to call themselves, small government conservative. Donald Trump certainly ain't that. Let me get to Morris here, and then we'll get to a break and maybe some more calls and the Green News Report all straight ahead. Hey, Morris, you stayed on the line all the entire hour last week when I opened up the phones, and I wasn't able to get to you. So, A, I'm sorry about that, and B, you have the floor, sir.
Oh, I appreciate your show, Brad, but I just have some very serious questions here.
Yeah.
First of all, I would ask Donald Trump, at what age did you lose your virginity? And then I would ask him, why haven't you released your taxes? And for Mrs. Clinton, I would ask her, do you and Bill still have sex? That would be my question.
Now, okay. Morris, hang on. Don't go away, Mo. Are you there?
Yes, sure.
Okay. Yeah, so that middle question, why won't you release your taxes? I mean, we'll know what he'll say. He'll pretend that he can't because he's being audited. But, boy, you've got kind of an obsession with sex of the sex lives of the two candidates.
If the American public knew they were going to talk about Donald Trump's virginity and Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton's sex life, everybody would be watching. But if you're talking about 60 million refugees, if you're talking about people being decimated in this country around the world, folks just aren't interested. So I thought I would bring in two very important questions, and I'm sure the American public will be interested.
Okay. I have a feeling they're going to be interested in this debate Monday, and I have a feeling this could be perhaps the most watched television event in the history of TV. But we'll see. Good to hear from you, Morris. Thanks for calling in, man. All right. Let's get to a quick break. Well, maybe we'll be able to get to some of your calls after the break. Desi Doyen, you're on deck with the Green News Report. Man, I'm not looking forward. I got to be honest. I'm not looking forward to this debate. I am really not. I think a lot of people think this is fun, and Morris comes up with a couple of amusing questions. I think this is real damned serious and real damned concerning, and it's not just about ratings, for cable TV and for network news. This is a real damn serious matter, and it's very troubling, at least to me. I'm Brad Friedman. This is your Bradcast. Melting for Desi Doyen as the heat is on out here in Los Angeles, even in late September, and it's getting worse in the days ahead.
Oh, goody.
I know. Sorry. Let me get to it. Let me do one more quick call here, and we'll get to the Green News Report. Let me get to standby, Des. Orlando in Orange County. Hey, Orlando, what would you like to see the campaigns asked about, the candidates asked about on Monday?
Campaign finance report. I mean, reform. The Trump says he bought off Hillary, and Hillary accepted the money to be bought off. And we have a TPP with Mr. Obama that's going to throw the whole country out under the river or whatever. So it's like the politicians are bought off. So
yeah.
I appreciate
that, Orlando. You know, a campaign finance has just fallen off the radar this year with a supposed billionaire running for president. We haven't been talking about it at all, but I think we're actually going to be talking about it tomorrow on the Bradcast if the news gods are with us. I won't say who, but all right. Are we ready, Des?
Yes.
All right. Let's get to it. Our latest Green News Report.
in the pipelines. They're underground. You don't hear anything about them until something goes wrong.
Massive gasoline pipeline spill in Alabama. Temporary reprieve for the Dakota Access Pipeline. UN Secretary General trying to Trump-proof landmark climate pact. Plus,
we must protect and value vital marine ecosystems rather than treating the oceans as an endless resource to be exploited and as a dumping ground for our waste.
Leonardo DiCaprio wants you to watch over the oceans.
He is the king of the world, after all. All of those stories and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
For the first time ever in recorded history, everywhere in the United States for the next 90 days is projected to be well above normal temperature-wise. Something to think about.
I don't know. Seems like more than just something to think about. But I guess a local meteorologist can't say something to keep you awake at night as you ponder a future on a slowly dying planet. Now over to Kevin with sports.
And now over to Desi Doyen with the Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, a lot of pipelines in the news for the past week or two, and this week is no exception.
Yep, it's true. Cleanup crews are now hard at work in Alabama at a massive gasoline pipeline spill. No cause yet determined for the estimated 350,000-gallon spill that's now causing gas shortages across the southeast. That prompted the governors of Alabama and five other states to declare states of emergency to accelerate fuel delivery and curb price gouging. Alabama reporter Dennis Pillion, in an interview on the broadcast, said the leak was actually a lucky break located next to an abandoned mine retaining pond that captured most of the gasoline by chance, sparing a wildlife refuge.
The Cahaba River has numerous threatened and endangered species under the Endangered Species Act that are found nowhere else in the world. So it's also a major concern that the gasoline not reach the Cahaba River. And from everything we're hearing, the gasoline is not reaching this river. It certainly seems that we might have caught an incredibly lucky break there.
Incredibly lucky that the rupture just happens to have gone into an old abandoned coal mine retaining pond. It's kind of remarkable, actually.
Also remarkable, pipeline owner Colonial Pipeline is being praised by both officials and even the Cahaba Riverkeeper Organization for its cleanup response.
That won't last. Remember, they're not allowing any journalists into the site yet because the fumes are so overwhelming. So we'll keep our eyes on this over the next few days and weeks.
Speaking of pipelines and spills, up in North Dakota, a temporary reprieve in the legal effort to stop the Dakota Access Pipeline near the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe Reservation. Late on Friday, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled to temporarily halt all construction for 20 miles on either side of the Missouri River crossing until the tribe's full lawsuit can be heard. In a separate action, a federal judge also threw out a restraining order against the tribal chairman, David Archambault, and several protesters. In other news, at the Our Oceans Conference in Washington, D.C. late last week, actor and environmentalist Leonardo DiCaprio announced the release of a new free online tool that uses live satellite and radar data to allow any user to track any industrial fishing operation in the oceans to help stop illegal fishing.
Nice.
This platform will empower citizens across the globe to become powerful advocates for our oceans. With the data Global Fishing Watch provides governments, fishery management organizations, researchers, and the fishing industry can work together to rebuild fisheries and protect critical marine habitats. We encourage all of you to take advantage of this new technology and work together to effectively monitor and protect our seas.
The online monitoring tool is free at globalfishingwatch.org. Also at the Global Oceans Conference, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry announced more than $5 billion in new funding for conservation programs, and five nations, including France, will implement plastic bag bans to help stem the tide of plastic pollution choking wildlife in the seas. That was last week. This week is the United Nations General Assembly in New York City, where the New York Times reports UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon is trying to Trump-proof the historic Paris Agreement by speeding up ratification of the accord. That agreement binds all nations to cut greenhouse gas emissions and will come into force when 55 nations representing 55% of global emissions sign on. The world's two biggest polluters, China and the United States, have signed. If the European European Union countries complete fast-track ratification by early October, the accord could be enacted as early as the day before the United States presidential election in November. That would be record speed for an international compact. Now, it wouldn't stop a potential Trump administration from undermining the accord, but it would make it much more difficult.
Unbelievable that the UN has to go to this kind of measure to Trump-proof the climate agreement. Just extraordinary. For much more on that story and all of the others that we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. Find us and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report. DiCaprio.
That song is going to follow him around for the rest of his life.
Yes, it is.
But we do have an update. Now, today at the UN General Assembly, Secretary General Ban Ki-moon announced that they have reached 60 countries. So they have now passed the first threshold to ratify the Paris Agreement. They haven't met the second one at emissions. The basic emissions level of 55%.
The countries have to have more than 55% of the world emissions before it kicks in.
Right. So we're still missing 7% of those emissions that can be met soon. The EU pledges that they will meet this by the end of the year. We'll see if they do.
And the fact that they're doing this so that the agreement
kicks in. This
has
never happened before this fast.
This fast. And so that it stays in effect for 4 years during the Trump presidency.
Yeah.
Amazing. All right.
Yes.
Thank you, Desi Doyen, our producer. My thanks to our board operator, G. To all of you who called in today, greatly appreciated. Sorry I couldn't get to everybody, but I tried. If you missed any portion of today's program, download it anytime for free at bradblog.com or at iTunes or kpfk.org, whatever your favorite download site is. You can email me. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com, and I'm on the Twitters and the Facebooks at TheBradBlog. That's it. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Until then, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world!